This is Commander Shepard. You're listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
My vision is clear, the future is here.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to Botched Roll. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net and TerribleWarriors.com. This is a roleplay podcast, and not in the fact that I will be playing roleplaying games, I'm actually going to be talking about them. They might be analysis of rules, splat books, source books, pretty much whatever. Very much inspired by people like Kurt Weigel in the Game Geeks RPG on YouTube, also Noah Antweiler, aka Spoonie's Counter Monkey series. And it's not often I get a chance to actually just talk pure crunch or pure math, but also some fluff as well, about the various RPGs that I've had a chance to play over the years. I've been playing since, I want to say 1992 or 93. My first game I ever played was Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 2nd Edition. That was with my game master, Jamie, back in the old country of Shaw Lake, Ontario, Canada, where I grew up once upon a time. And so the aim here, like I said, is to kind of talk about some of the stuff I've had happen to me over the years. I've had some high periods where I played a lot of RPGs, some low periods where I didn't play a whole hell of a lot, but I've always kind of kept the hobby in the back of my mind. Over the last 2 years, I've really kind of built up quite a library, probably well over 100 books now, at least, on my shelves, picking them up through garage sales, donations from fans, people like my friend Cam actually sent me the Firefly RPG from Margaret Weiss. I've gotten other donations from fans as well, such as this purely Batman RPG, which I haven't unfortunately had a chance to look at yet, but is still out there. Also, the Dragon Age RPG, which was also sent in by Cam. Ken sent me the World of Warcraft RPG for Christmas, along with like a pound of dice, which is actually pretty kick-ass. So the idea is, like I said, just to kind of talk about them. So today's pilot episode is going to be me talking about the Fossa Corporation's Shadowrun 2nd Edition. This is the first RPG I really kind of got into hardcore by myself. And there's a bit of a story that involves an ex-girlfriend at the time, breaking a hockey net, because I was really pissed off, and a guy I'm unfortunately no longer friends with, but was a very big part of my childhood, a guy named Ryan. So, once upon a time, me and Ryan, we were, like, this virtually inseparable pair of friends as kids. We weren't in the same grade. He was a grade above me, I think. Pretty sure. Yeah, he was a grade above me. So in high school, we always used to hang out. And so he turned me on to this one video game for the Sega Genesis that was called Shadowrun, which was this RPG where you play this runner named Michael. You can be one of three things. You can be a shaman, a street samurai, and I can't remember what the other one was. Maybe it was just an ordinary dude. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've played it. So he starts playing it, starts kind of talking to me. I'm thinking, yeah, what the hell ever. Don't really give a shit. Then he loans it to me, this Sega Genesis game, and it becomes very much an obsession. I mean, he explains the world to me. And for those of you that don't necessarily know what Shadowrun is, think of it as like Lord of the Rings meets, like, super high-tech stuff. So, I'm trying to think what might be a really good analogy for it. Basically, picture trolls and elves, but with, like, cybernetics built in. So, if you could have, like, the RoboCop future, where it's sort of high-tech, yet kind of close to reality, mixed... Here's a better description. It's Johnny Mnemonic, the movie with Keanu Reeves, meets Lord of the Rings. So you have all these fantastic elements like dragons, orcs, trolls, elves, whatever. But you also have computer technology where you can literally plug your brain into this thing called the Matrix. Very similar to the Matrix, like from the movie, where it's a simulated reality. But it's the internet, for lack of a better phrase. So this world becomes utterly fantastic to me, and I find out there's all this rich lore behind it. And this is kind of what very much got me down the path of RPGs, just seeing all these worlds that were being created, because they're incredibly neat. With Shadowrun, it takes place in what's called the Sixth World, and that happens at the end of the Mayan calendar, which happened a couple of years ago, signaling the end of the Fifth World and going into the Sixth World. That means magic has come back, so people are suddenly finding people that are witches and shamans find their powers are suddenly beginning to really work. Or dragons start appearing from lairs in like Japan and Germany, and they just start coming out of nowhere. And people start going through this process called goblinization, which turns them into orcs and trolls. We start seeing people that are being born, and they start being known as elves and dwarves. And that has to do with the level of magic in the world. So magic has come back, and it's a real thing. But that also comes with another thing in the near future, is that corporations are now considered legal people, so to speak. So there are these things called megacorps, people like As Technology, the Renraku Corporation, Lone Star Security. All these different companies are basically vying for control of basically money and everything else. And the world has changed vastly due to social and political change. So now the United States and Canada are split into something that's called the UCAS, the CAS, the Denver Free Zone, Atlazen, and the California Free State, and also Tier Tangier, which is like an elven free nation, but also the North American, the Native American nations, or NAN. So all these countries of now are occupying what's left of North America. The game primarily takes place in Seattle, and that's kind of where we find myself. So to make a long story short, I'm playing the Shadowrun video game. I'm really getting excited. And a girl that I'm dating, her brother, we talk sometimes over the phone. I've only really hung out with the kid like maybe once or twice. Starts telling me there's a Shadowrun pen and paper RPG. And I'm thinking, well, I played D&D and Star Wars, so what the hell is this? And hooked right in. And I'm super excited. So me, Ryan, and this other guy start talking about it. We start developing ideas. And it's really neat because this is the first time I've ever experienced a true long-form campaign that isn't stupid or ends after like three or four sessions. Like, I'm like, we're really starting to get some really neat ideas here. And then I forget precisely the circumstances that happened, but I was dating the brother's sister. And this is back in a time when internet dating was sort of very much in its infancy, sort of like there's a person on the other end of the text message or email. And yeah, let's just say during high school, dating for me up until probably about grade 11 was inconsistent and hilarious at best. Let's just say I was very much a ICQ person looking for love, so to speak. And if you know what ICQ is, holy shit, you're just as old as I am. Trillion was the best client you could possibly have. So I remember one night working on character sheets, and I'm developing ideas. I'm sitting at my dining room table, and I get the news. She randomly decides to break up with me and leave me for a friend of mine I know she's never met. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? So I'm there just about ready to rip up a book because I'm so fucking mad. But I'm like, nope, not going to do that. Nope. Walk outside. And what's the first thing I see? Now, I'd gotten a hockey net for a birthday when I was in, like, the 6th or 7th grade. And I still had the thing. I used to go out and play street hockey, like, every day from, like, grade 6 to probably about grade 9, 9 and a half with my next-door neighbors. And I just unleashed holy hell on this thing. Took a hockey stick, utterly destroyed this thing. Like, had, like, splinters everywhere. And I was just very much channeling the inner fat fuck Hulk rage that I was known for at the time. Which is funny, if you know who I am now, I'm very much subdued in that regard, though I do get mad. So kind of decided, you know what, I'm going to throw myself wholeheartedly into Shadowrun, and you know what, I'm going to hide from my problems such as they were. So, eventually, I start getting my own Shadowrun books. There was a store in the place I used to live called Owen Sound, called Mike's Bookstore. He's very much still around, and the owner at the time was a guy named Cubby. He inherited it from his father, and I had a very good relationship with him, where he would pre-order books for me. I wouldn't have to pay for them until they come in, and my dad was always inevitably pissed off, and he'd walk in, oh, here's a $100 order. Yeah, sorry, didn't tell you. What are you going to do about it? Started getting into Shadowrun, and me and Ryan, we would play every weekend, every Saturday afternoon at the Owen Sound Library from about noon till probably about 4 in the afternoon. My first character that I ever cared about, and this shows out, this is a sign of the times, folks, was my first character was named Fox Mulder. Yep. I'm unoriginal as shit. Or rather, he's the first character that I really kind of gave a shit about. Other characters. I had a character named Geordi, who was very much named after the character from Star Trek. And I also had another guy, and this name I'm very much ashamed of, Aaron Seinfeld. And I used to get harassed for that constantly. What we used to do is there'd be these splat books, or these source books for Shadowrun. And Fossa, I thought at the time, was really fantastic, because you would always get these new books. And they were utterly, they were just so cool. But there were also box sets as well, like for London, for Denver, stuff like that. And I actually did buy a bunch from a guy in high school, a guy named Greg. I think I bought all his Shadowrun books. I think I paid maybe $50, and I got some super friggin' rare ones. But that's a story how a different day how I lost all my Shadowrun novels, or my Shadowrun books. So, I got these books, and to give you an idea what some of these were, they had ones on mercenaries, which was called Fields of Fire. Bug City, which was a story but source book, which took the city of Chicago and had it invaded by insect spirits. And they'd planted seeds of this adventure all the way back, I think, in the first edition of the game. I think it was an adventure called Queen Euphoria, I think, and the Universal Brotherhood. So they'd kind of been laying the adventure seeds for that for a number of years. But you'd also get books on cyber technology, which was just called, I think, cyber technology. There was also one called Shadow Tech. Another one that I really liked, and I didn't get a chance to read as much as I would have liked, was one called Shadow Beat, which was basically pop culture in the future. How do things work? Basically, what are the news networks? What are, you know, how does the media work in the future? And I remember there were adventures based around getting people cyberized. Like, maybe they saw a crime and there was something there. But the big part of Shadowrun, and Spoonie has talked about this, and it's totally right, the big part of Shadowrun is shopping. And during character creation, you can choose to take money as your primary resource. It comes in priorities. And I think if you took it as priority A, you get like a million new yen, which is the currency of the future, which is universally accepted everywhere, I'm pretty sure, and it comes on things called cred sticks. So what would happen is I would get these giant things of paper, and I'd get all these source books, and I would start cracking math. Now, I suck at math. There is a whole new level of suckage. I went to summer school for 2 years for math. I'm not afraid to admit, I am a friggin' idiot when it comes to doing anything more advanced than, like, basic addition, subtraction, whatever. You ask me to find X, I'm gonna say fuck you.
2 + 2 = 4.
Go to hell. So anyway, I started figuring this out, and I started doing something called min-maxing. Min-maxing is gaming the system. What do you mean by gaming the system? Looking for flaws and looking for ways to get maximum potential for little return. There was a book that was called The Shadowrun Companion, which was a second edition source book, and what it did was gave you advanced rule creation. So I talked over with Ryan, who was my game master at the time, thinking, hey, we both have this. These things are pretty cool. We want to create a cool story together, so why don't you let me use the rules on this? And there were these things called edges and flaws. So depending on how you built your character, you could get extra points. Say you took a cortex bomb, which is a bomb in your head. It's going to go off, or if you take it out, you have to take so many points and flaws. So it was a 10-point flaw, I think. So I'm thinking, all right, it's 2 points for every one attribute point. Let's see what I can do. And I think we were given 100 character points. I think that's what it was. And so I would take all these different edges and flaws, and I'm sitting there cracking math with a calculator thinking, all right, if I do this and I do that, it's 1 point for one skill point. But if I take this flaw, he may never use this thing. So I'm counting on him being lazy. And even if he doesn't, this will counteract that. This will counteract that. So I'm basically going back and forth, trying to math my way into being the most awesome character I possibly can. Basically, it's like a really shitty version of 21. The movie, not the actual blackjack, whatever. But it's sort of me counting character points, trying to figure out how can I maximize my pluses and minuses for it. And eventually, I'm able to figure out what to make the optimum character class to be magically active. So I think I was a physical adept. And I took that because Phizzads, as they're known, have these incredible physical abilities. So I'm thinking, all right, I can be the most awesome ninja badass. In theory, they won't be able to touch me. And if I want to take cyberware, I could do it. And if I'm really careful with how I spend my essence, essence is essentially your soul. The body can only take so much cyberware before the soul says, I'm out of here, prick. And you have to manage it. And it always comes in small increments. Like, it could be 1 point of essence. So 1.01 is a whole point. That takes away from your magic rating, which is how much or how strong your magic can be. So you could cast, for example, a level 6 spell if you had your full 6 essence. I'm pretty sure it was 6. So if you went down, but if you took, say, a 0.1 piece of cyber, like a data jack, so you could access the matrix, the maximum you could cast is 5. So you have that whole point of essence to play with. Once again, if you read, I think it's the Cyber Technology book, or I think it was even covered in the Grimoire 2nd edition, they talk about something called Delta Grade Cyberware. Delta Grade Cyberware is top of the line, chrome up the ass. The advantage of it is it takes less essence. You can cram more in there for less cost. It'll cost you more, but the essence cost is a percentage less than what the original is. So, once again, creative math and I think a graphing calculator later, I figured out how to cram as much cyber as I can into that 1 point of essence to the point where I think I had data jacks being free. And I think I could even get light armor. Like, there's this thing called dermal armor. I think I had that in there at a relatively cheap price. The only thing I could never cheat was stuff like wired reflexes, which I think cost 2 whole points of essence, but it gave you a bonus to your initiative, which means you would go first. I never fucked around with that, but I figured I'm a physical adept. I can just spend magic points and do that once I become, I think it's an initiate, and you had to spend karma for that, which is their version of experience points. But still, I learned very quickly over the course of like 2 years to become really, really, really good at math. As long as it was numbers under 100, I could do them in my head like that. Simply because I would associate it with Shadowrun, I could look at something and thinking, all right, how do we figure this out? And it would be just ultimately a battle of math is how I would go against Ryan's games 9 times out of 10. And I'd always make sure with all my guns and weapons, like my Ares Predator or my Remington Room Sweeper, which are ones like an automatic pistol, other ones like a handheld shotgun, I think. I'd always figure, like, okay, laser sight, gas vent, and all this other crap. Basically, I would make sure I had all the multipliers and advantages on those guns where, once again, I could do certain things because the math was so complicated. And Shadowrun, it's a great game. I think it's got a lot of flexibility, but it can be a lot of math to the point where you literally have to have the combat section bookmarked. But during Terrible Warriors, when I ran the game 2 years ago, I run a very cinematic game. Like, I don't tend to think in the ways of like a miniatures war game. I use abstract distances. I'll describe it as best I possibly can. And Ryan was very much the same way. Which is why we never kept track of ammunition, for example. But I'd buy it just in case. I'm thinking, all right, how many bullets fit in this clip? I want this particular type of ammo. So, once again, I would take advantage of the math. And I'd be like, okay, I know he's not factoring in X. So, because we ultimately agreed you could buy anything you wanted to unless it was super illegal, or if you could explain it away and he had the right to use it against you later, you could do it. So I'd buy this thing called Armor-Piercing Discarding Sabot Rounds, or ADPS, or whatever the fuck it is. I forget what the acronym is, and I don't care enough to think about it. We'd figure out what that is. But another thing you had to do, in addition to buying your weapons, your gear, your magic stuff, you had to buy a lifestyle. So you could live in, like, a coffin motel. You could, like, have a really shitty apartment. Or you could buy multiple identities that lived in shitty apartments, nice condos, mansions, or whatever. You would have a place to run to. So, once again, through creative math and making my character flawed and yet awesome at the same time, I'm able to buy multiple identities and keep track of all my expenses per month, because you had to do that in-game to maintain, like, I think it's like a middle-class lifestyle. I think it was something like 2,000 New Yen a month or something like that. So, half my character sheets look like spreadsheets by the end of it, but it was ultimately a really, really tremendously fun game. And yeah, there were more than a few times where I'd get fucked by my own math, because there'd be times he'd pull out, oh, hey, have you paid for your car this month? What? Oh yeah, it's impounded. Or, I hope you've had a chance to pay up your apartment rental in the Pulley Up Barrens. I'm like, what? And, you know, that's why, you know, we get into adventure hooks. Literally, hey, I need to take this job. I have a car payment. Stuff like that. And we'd always get offered ridiculous New Yen jobs. And it would always be me, my friend Trevor at the time, my friend Gavin and Brad. And Gavin, God rest your soul, my friend. We would play these games. We'd have to split the money. And, of course, it would come down to the accountant, which would usually end up being me, and I'd figure out, okay, how do we split this money up? Blah, 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 blah. Once again, I'd try and stack the deck in my favor. I'm a dick. I was very much a dick, but that's the rule of the game. We were all mercenaries, so to speak, and we all had our own reasons for working together and reasons for not and just whatever. It was just a really, really, really fun time. It then got to the point of utterly stupid when we started. When Shadowrun introduced something called biotech, and biotech took your body rating, which is sort of like different from essence, but not. You could have bioware and it wouldn't take away from your magic rating. We think, I still don't even know how that shit works. I just never bothered to do it. And I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I think enough's enough. It's maybe time to walk away from the math of Shadowrun. But for the time, it was actually pretty neat. And just the fact that we'd have all these books for shopping and different materials and cars and armor ratings and bullets and all that stuff. I always thought it was really cool. And I would actually credit Shadowrun for making me, for a little bit of a time, for a couple of years, really smart at math, where I can just look at something and instantly figure it out because I could associate it with body, intelligence, charisma, strength. I'm trying to think what the attributes were for Shadowrun off the top of my head. But yeah, I could look at something and figure it out, or it was a multiple of X. So that would be Shadowrun 2nd Edition Math Problems. Great, great game. Ultimately, the 2nd Edition, I think, is the best, because despite the math is kind of confusing, once you get the hang of it, it's pretty cool, but you really have to have that conversation with you and your players and your game master. Don't be a douchebag and take advantage of the fact that you can crack this math. And no role-playing system is going to be perfect in that regard. There's very much ways to take advantage of it. So I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a list of recommendations for books to pick up if you want to run your own Shadowrun 2nd Edition campaign. I'd obviously recommend the 2nd Edition main book. I think there's like a revised and expanded one. Shadow Tech, and I know I mentioned I didn't use it a whole lot. Cyber Technology, Fields of Fire, Street Samurai Catalog, a book called Threats, which I think was really cool. It's basically different organizations and different enemies for you to take into your game. The Seattle Source Book. And if I had to recommend another one, really recommend you check out Bug City. It's actually pretty cool, especially if you have any familiarity with Chicago. It'll give you more than enough. And there actually was a Shadowrun tie-in novel called Burning Bright, which very much sets up the events of Bug City before and after the containment zone went up. So be sure to check that out. I'm hopefully going to remember what I've recommended when I put this into the actual notes here. But if you like what you're hearing, I'd love to hear from you. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Tell me some of your own Shadowrun stories. I'd love to hear them. I also have a voicemail line, which is 817-717-7202. You can hear me on the roleplay podcast, TerribleWarriors.com. I'm running a few games this year. I should be a player more often than not. So be sure to check that out. And there's going to be an interview coming up with Palladium Books' Kevin Sambita. That'll be coming up probably in the next few days, actually. I want to make sure I get that up while it's still fresh in my mind and your mind. And the idea is to do this show once every week or every 2 weeks. Basically, I'm going to look at my shelf and decide, what the hell do I want to rap about for about 20 minutes, half an hour? So I hope you guys have enjoyed this. I had a lot of fun walking down memory lane, and I'll tell you more stories of Shadowrun 2nd Edition with Mr. Mulder, Insect Shamans, how he peed himself and that saved the future, and why you never deal with a dragon. So until next time, folks, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd. Keep rolling initiative, and hope to God you don't ever roll a one.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. But ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by at replying to at thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.